You've got a master class on growing an agency? What agency have you had?
Well, I ran a shop out of my basement for 3 years, and it was acquired for $100.
It is acquired for $100.
Success!
Yes! Yes!
You're listening to The Angry Designer, where we cut through the industry bull to help frustrated graphic designers survive and thrive.
Johnny boy!
Yeah! What's up?
Well, check this out. So this is something interesting we've got today. Yeah. We got somebody here went to Iceland.
Ooh!
Right? The land of fire and ice. That sounds really cool.
It does,
scary.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a lot of explosions and volcanoes going on over there.
Yes, yes.
And of course, being, you know, the fact that she knows that we are, you know, avid whiskey drinkers, she brought back the only whiskey they have there, okay? Because apparently they're not really known for their whiskey. So we're looking.
I don't think of Iceland when I think of whiskey.
Check this out. It's called Floki. It might be pronounced different. Icelandic single malt whiskey, and it's got a sherry cask finish.
Yeah.
So let's give this a go because I think this is interesting. Boy, you really poured that one. Salute. Didn't you?
Yeah, we better like it.
Oh,
right?
Gosh. Oh no, that smells funny.
Oh.
Well, it's actually not bad.
It's not bad.
I can really taste that. The wood and the sherry.
You
cast
certainly
is interesting.
Can. Yes.
That's probably the strongest, like, oaky, woody, you know, I have ever had in something like this. It burns, though.
Oh, yeah.
It burns.
There it is.
But it's like, this is Iceland's attempt at offering whiskey, right? And I mean, it looks good. The bottle looks good. Everything
nice.
Is great, and it smells good. So, good on them for creating something. You know, had we not known that they don't do whiskey, we would just think it's a regional thing. But they faked it pretty good.
Yeah,
they faked it pretty good.
Oh yes.
Just want to throw that out there. But I think she said that they're more they do more vodkas and such out there.
Yes,
right?
That seems more
typical of the area.
Yes, exactly.
So before we get too deep into this episode, I just want to remind everybody that this week we are at Creative Soaps. So, you know, stay tuned. Check out our Instagram feed because I think we're going to be trying to do some live feeds during the next couple days while we're there.
Nice.
We're going to be interviewing some really cool people that that you've already heard us talk about, but now we're going to be seeing them all in person.
That's right.
Which is going to be really cool. Different interaction, different vibe. I really can't wait. I think it's really exciting.
I know. This is going to be
right?
great.
Right? And we're going to be, you know, surrounded by a lot of big YouTubers and big Instagrammers and big people, you know, big personalities who I can definitely say that these guys know what they're doing.
They do.
But do all of these online people know what they're doing?
Ooh.
I heard a really crazy stat, dude, that and it's crazy that it's saying that this generation, this Gen Z's generation, is getting their financial advice from TikTok. And that kind of, that's a little bit of a worry because it's like there's this whole rise of social media experts, but are they really experts?
Oh.
You know, I remember seeing some of this shit on, you know, like investors, you know, social media, you know, investors, and they're going on about they've got their cars, they got this, they're showing they're burning money because they're making so much of it.
You think this is my country club? No, this is my house.
Yeah, right. That's not a golf course. That's my backyard.
That's my backyard. Come on.
You know, but then you see, you know, a year too late, 2-3 years later, COVID's done, over with. Some of these guys are scam artists. They were taking people to the cleaners. They stole their money. You know, like there's this whole, you know, like it's a big deal right now, right? And this kind of, it's a little concerning because I see this all the time in our space.
Ah.
And this is the part that I found worrisome, honestly, because it's like every week, if not, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a week, I get all these experts that are coming out of the woodwork and emailing me and being like, do you want to all of a sudden take your agency to the next level? And it's like a 21-year-old kid who has magically found this fucking formula selling me how to improve. And this is right. I get this all the time.
No.
Dude. And I see it on social media. I get people hitting us up on Instagram, right? They hit us up at The Angry Designer, but then on their Zed Factor site, I get people on LinkedIn. And it's just like,
on LinkedIn.
You're a twit. Like you haven't even been in, you haven't even been out of college for more than a couple of years, and you're already claiming that you are a fucking expert in this space. Dude, it's unbelievable. And that is the worry. It's this idea of, you know, this fake it until you make it mantra, right? And people are throwing it everywhere. And this is what it's creating. And this is the worry. So this is what we're here to talk about today, or at least listen to Moss bitch about today, is this whole idea. I mean, it's a culture that, I mean, again, I understand. But dude, like, it's just getting pretty nasty. Like, just everybody apparently is a fucking expert.
Everybody's an expert. Yes, exactly. An expert at making money.
Well, they're not that's good at, a huge one. Yeah.
They're not good at anything, but they're an expert at making money.
Oh, shit.
This I find fascinating. So really, people reach out to you and say to you that they're going to take your business to the next level.
It'll take my business to the next level.
Do they even
guarantee
know?
New lead? No, apparently they don't.
They don't know anything what you do.
No, they don't know. They don't know about our acquisition. They don't know if we're a, you know, the fact that we're already a seven-figure agency, right? Like, I mean, what are you trying to do?
How much bigger are you talking here?
Why would we want to? And the funny thing is, what is your credential?
Yes.
I even asked somebody, I was like, wow, I'm like, $500 an hour coaching fee. I go, that's a pretty bold claim. Do you have some case studies to prove this? And his response, I have thousands of case studies I can send you. I'm like,
thousands.
Dude, you're not even thousands of days old. What? How are you? And it's this is a worry because again, I'm seeing it. You know, again, the YouTubers that you know, or sorry, the YouTubers, the Instagrammers, the social media guys that you know we talk to, we vet. You know, we're not just pulling people's based on you know how many followers they have, right? We are vetting them. We are going through, you know, we're watching them. But the concern is a lot of people get caught up on the hype.
Yes.
And I start seeing all these people with these giant followers and they're selling shit. Right? And I'm this goes for graphic design too. And that is the concern. Right? This whole, you know, everybody, you heard this fake it until you make it mantra years ago, right? I think it came out with the whole remember, I think it was The Secret or The Law of Attraction, right? You know, the book The Secret. And the whole premise is, you know, it's this law of attraction, right? And you know what you put out,
you get back. Yes.
So if you fake it, you know, you put out confidence. If you're not confident, you put confidence out there.
Right.
And after a while, confidence comes back to you. You start gaining more confidence and it's just like a win-win, right?
Yes.
So it started good.
Yeah, totally. But I mean, confidence and business acumen are two totally different things.
Right. Well, that's the problem. That's exactly it. People nowadays have taken it, social media, digital media, like they've taken it in an entirely different place. Now, now it's like the interpretation is completely problematic. It's not well intentioned anymore, right? It transcends, you know, it basically makes people think or give an idea that, you know, we're more successful than we actually are. I think that's where, again, they're taking the fake it part literal, right? And that's the problem. It's like they're trying to craft this professional image of themselves that just doesn't exist.
Right.
Okay. So it's like now they are actually faking it, where before it was, you know, well-intentioned for personal growth. And I can appreciate that. Right.
Yes.
But that's not where it is right now. Right. And that's the worry. That's a huge worry in my opinion.
Yeah. That's pretty scary.
Well, and especially because, you know, a little while ago we did, this term is being embraced by a lot of big names.
Okay.
Right. And again, you know, of course, people are just using it haphazardly. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, and I appreciate that people are using it and the people who use it. But even a couple episodes ago when we did the Jessica Walsh, her mantra, one of her things was fake it until you make it.
Right.
And again, in this space, I don't know if you want to portray that. I understand, what, you know, it was well intentioned, I'm sure. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and how she meant it in her book. And I've heard other big people out there say it as well. But dude, I think it has more harm in this specific setting than it does good.
Yeah. But I think it's a matter of context there, too. It's like if Jessica Walsh fakes something, you know, she's got the shit behind her.
Yeah.
The talent behind her to back up whatever that is. And it's like what we talk about. Like, you know, you say to a client, no, I don't know anything about that. But by the end of, by Monday, I will be a pro at it. You know what
I mean? Right,
right,
right.
So that is kind of a fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Sort of.
But you know what? You hit the key. You hit the nail on the head there.
Right.
Right. I tell the customer, I don't know it, but I will by Monday.
You're honest. That's right. The thing.
And that's, yes. I think that's where, you know, we'll definitely take this conversation, mm-hmm. you know, is probably like, you know, I don't know, full circle to where we were. But the issue with, you know, how people are using it now and how people are throwing this term around now. Yeah. I mean, you know, the consequences, right? It screws up so many people in different levels, right? Mm-hmm. Like for design on a whole. Okay, for graphic design in the whole, when you start hearing this term fake it until you make it, right? It kind of misguides people on what success actually means in this space.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Like you got these twits online that are like telling you, you know, be a better graphic designer by doing this and by doing that and listen to me and I'll help you and buy my course and this and that, right? And again, a lot of their information is really bad, but people follow because they're being told by these people with all these followers that this is the road to success.
Right.
Right? So that's like the success in the space isn't actually measured by, you know, your online followers and by, you know, because I mean, for a lot of these, not the good people out there, but a lot of these people who are only out there to sell courses, dude, they're all just paid followers. They're right. not real followers.
Okay. I was just going to say, like, this seems kind of smacks like the fake it till you make it, that they have fake people behind them.
Exactly.
propping up their numbers.
They embrace that full, you know, mentality, right? Of. And that hurts our industry, right? It, you know, again, they're superficial metrics, you know, to kind of like help guide people on their graphic design development when really we should be focusing on, you know, the principles, you know, focusing on the problems we're solving, focusing on growing our skill set, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the idea that, you know, they're putting out, you know, misinformation, right? They're putting out bad information and these people are taking it to heart. They're taking this bad information and they're tweaking it to use for their own use and their own way. And so all of a sudden you're starting to get all these very thinly veiled graphic designers who, you know, have no idea or intentionally, you know, are following someone that, you know, is perceived to be somebody who's successful in the space, but really they're not. They're fakers.
Yes. They're very,
right. Yeah. So that's like, it can hurt our industry.
Yes.
Okay. Now, and again, the impact on new designers, of course, is, you know, misguided practices.
Big time.
Right. Which we talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, like, again, they're being told one thing, but really that's not how people have been doing it all this time. Mm-hmm. You know, people rush to the market because they're seeing all this shit online. They're like, holy crap, I got to hurry up and finish. And they're just not ready to get to the market. They're not ready to put themselves out there yet. Yeah. But they're seeing all this stuff online that makes them feel or think that they're ready for it, right?
Yes.
And then it starts making people overpromise and underdeliver.
Ah.
Because, you know, you've got, now you read some dude's book that's going to tell you how to grow your agency, grow your followers, grow this, grow that.
Yep.
And you start telling customers one thing, but when you actually sit down and try to put it to practice, the shit doesn't work. No, so this is what I mean. Like, so it screws up graphic design in a whole. It screws up new designers.
Yes.
And it really fucks over experienced designers.
Oh.
People in our, you know, our experience, people who've been doing this for 10, 20 years, because now all of a sudden it's like you have these twits who've only got a few years experience who are like, you know, making it seem like I've got the secret.
I know how to do it. It's not that hard.
It's not that hard. Don't worry about these guys who've been doing it for 10 years, right? I can tell you what to do already.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, they're diluting the value of our experience.
Right.
You know, we have more fucking experience in our little finger than some of these guys who are selling twits. These like scam books.
Yeah.
These twits. That's the word of the day.
I love the twit. Word twit. I'm going to use that more often now.
Do twit.
No, you're right. We have far more experience with this kind of stuff. These people do not. And so how can you claim to be an expert when you're really not?
Dude. If somebody, you know, has somebody younger has a very successful agency, right? Like Christy from Pink Pony.
Yeah.
She's, you know, she's like, she's half my age.
Yeah.
And she's already running a great agency. Good.
Yeah.
Good for her. And I would reach out and I'd be like, what are you doing? Good on you. Mm-hmm. She's got the energy. She's got the vibe and this and that.
The talent.
Right. Yeah. But she's also not online, you know, telling people how to grow their business from like, you know, seven figures to 12 figures.
Yes.
Right. Like she's putting out the information that is working for her.
For her. Exactly.
So, and again, this is where it's like, you can learn from people like this, right?
Right.
Same time, she's not trying to sell a book that's going to turn people's agencies into 12-figure agencies. Nazis either. So I don't know, man. It's really, you know, it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. Okay. For me, it's frustrating because it's like it's spam, right?
Yeah.
But I can clearly see this shit online. Like, you know, I'm like, you're fake. You don't know what you're talking about. Mm. You've got a master class on growing an agency. What agency have you had?
Well, I ran a shop out of my basement for 3 years and it was acquired for $100.
It is acquired for $100.
Success.
Yes.
But seriously, dude, this is the frustrating part because, again, I am very proud of what we've accomplished.
Right.
I'm very proud of people in our space who we support. Right. So when I see this kind of stuff, it worries me that people might buy into some of this shit. Right. It's a lot, this whole fake it idea. Right.
Like big time.
Dude, it's like it takes so much energy to try to keep up a lie, you know, and even if you're not selling books, mm-hmm. okay, even if you're not like trying to scam people out of it, embracing this idea of faking it and kind of overrepresenting yourself and trying to be something you're not, dude, it's hard.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It's so hard.
It's harder to do that.
Dude, it's, you know what? It's easier to actually be yourself.
To just do your own thing. Yes.
So I remember, okay, so when we started Zed Factor, right? Yeah. So this goes back like almost 25 years ago. Yeah. When I started, I, you know, embraced this fake until you make it. I was like, no, I played out the part. I wear suits back then. Yeah, we actually wore suits to client meetings. Wow. At the very beginning, it was a very stupid thing to do. But again, it was to give this illusion of success. Yeah. You know, I would, you know, always play out the game that I had a big agency and this and that, right? And this was the first few years. And, you know, I was hungry.
Yeah.
Okay. And even though I didn't fail on any projects I took on and I didn't screw anybody over, right? Yeah. I did constantly, I was faking it. I was lying on, you know, who we were, how big we were, you know, and this and that. And although we did have big growth, right? I had a lot of contractors at the beginning because mm-hmm. again, it was hard to hire on employees. Right. Okay.
Yes.
It was so tiring to keep the story straight. Like, seriously, dude, it was so much work. I remember coming back, you know, and after my meeting, I'd go in the car and I'd write down all the lies I fucking told in the meeting. So when I went back, dude, this is serious shit.
Oh, and, wow.
And honestly, it got to the point where I was so anxiety filled that I was like, fuck it, I am not going to do this anymore, right? And again, I never got caught, I never got burned, and I never fucked over anybody. But good. I remember trying to build this fake it.
Yeah.
And in the end, it wasn't worth it. So in the end, I was just like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I am going to represent ourselves the way we are.
Yeah.
If anybody, okay, I always, and again, we talked about this. We had an episode on making yourself look bigger than you actually are.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yes.
And I did that. We always did that. I made sure our brand was bigger. The way we spoke was always in the third party. The way I spoke about my team was always bigger.
Yes.
But if people asked, I never lied about the team. I said, I have 3 employees and I have a network of contractors that we contract out and we act as, and you know what, customers, they were cool with it.
They're all right with that.
They didn't even fucking blink.
Yes.
And it was just like, oh,
yeah.
Like, honestly, it was, and then that's when shit really started happening for us because it was this giant lift. I mean, I was just, it was far more rewarding to be authentic than it was to actually try to live this fake it until you make it bullshit. So it's like, I did embrace that, the wrong side of that for a minute.
Right.
And then when I realized, it was like, screw it, I'm not doing this anymore, right? And even this whole notion about, you know, I tell customers all the time, right? No, I have no experience on this, but come Monday,
I will know.
I'll be a fucking pro on it, right? And I tell customers that.
Yes.
And they're okay with that too because they come to us because, you know, we're experts at what we do and solving problems, this, that. And so it's like they would much rather have us learn how to do something and pay us to do it versus they to do it themselves.
Yes. What's that saying? It's kind of like over promise and under deliver or something. No?
Yeah, that is definitely what we.
Yeah, because you're saying like
under promise and over
and over
over promise under deliver. I think we talked about that in our episode of how to lose customers. I think we did.
Stupid brain. No, but you're telling them, look, I don't know this right now, but I will be an expert. And I think, like you said, in your experience, that is honesty is far better policy than this kind of thing. Because if you went into that meeting and said, oh, I know all this. I'll figure it out when I get there.
Yeah. And you don't.
And you don't. You didn't do any research.
And that's the worry. Because if people do take this fake it until you make it mantra and actually, you know, use it as part of their whole, how they become successful, you're right. They're going to drop the ball. And we have, over the years, we've had so many people come back to us and be like, yeah, I signed up with this company and they promised us this. They sucked.
Yeah.
Can you help? And we fixed everything. Yes. Right? Like, we were fixers for quite a while, right? Which
That's kind of a great spot to be from, like, you know, where you're kind of like, hey, you know what? I'm the sexy librarian. You know, I got my hair up, my glasses on, but you know, if you need me, I'm right over here kind of thing. That's the agency. That's
a weird analogy, but okay. He's trying to picture Sean with his beard up on his head and his glasses down at the end of his nose.
When I shake it out and take my glasses off, oh boy. It was me all along.
It's, you know what it is. It's there's, you know what else I find about a lot of these people, and I can say this for myself too. Like, I believe that when I embrace that fake it, that whole mentality, right? Honestly, I think I was suffering from like an inferiority complex.
And I'm sure that's common with a
absolutely
lot of people.
Absolutely, it is, right? And I think that's where it was like, I and not only that. And so I'd fake it, so I would try to, you know, overshadow this. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, I was kind of resentful towards people who also, who were successful. I remember when I was like, you know, I talked to Christo. I had this conversation with Christo once, and I told him, and it was funny, right? Because it was a Zoom call, and I was honest with him. I said, you know, I said, for the longest time, I resented you. Because I was so fucking jealous of you. Whoa, and he like, and when I said, like, I resented you, he was like, what?
He's like, what the hell? The fuck? Where's this going?
Because I was jealous. I'm like, you know, you're doing such an amazing job and I'm really happy for you. He said, but I wish I was like you. And so it was just, and then of course we laughed about it and we talked it through, right? But it's true. There's, and I mean, again, while I was able to get over it early on, because I realized it's not who I wanted to be, and it was far more rewarding to be yourself,
yes,
and do it your own way, right or wrong,
yes.
You know, I realize that the challenges were like they fuck you up big time, dude.
It totally does, and you're kind of, you know, you're operating out of that false whatever. You're not being yourself. Mm. But it's because you don't know how at the beginning, you don't know how this stuff works kind of thing. So I could see how somebody would come along with a book or a teaching, kind of some sort of fucking
and
stupid
try to
plan
sell you
and
shit.
Sell prey on
yes,
somebody
prey
who,
on people
who doesn't know what they're doing. Right.
And you know, and you're right. The unfortunate part is they could probably find that information themselves.
Exactly. Just a little bit of research. But it's the easy route. And I think that's what a lot of people want
to
do now.
It's like that quick route to success.
Yes.
There you go. And that's exactly it. So there's other examples though. I keep harping on this because these guys are constantly like coming to me to promising me the world, right? but there's other examples that I've been caught in, right? Like this fake it till you make it idea, right? Portfolio misrepresentation.
Oh.
Right? And even outright plagiarism. And you see this on places like Fiverr and, you know, 100 Design, all that shit, right? Like these online people, these online freelancers, right? All the other online platforms and these people on Dribbble, I'm seeing it, right? These people are misrepresenting themselves.
Yeah.
They're putting shit up that isn't even them. They're stealing it from other places. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, you're like, wow, well, I like this look. Let me hire you for a specific project.
Yeah.
They deliver you shit.
Yeah. Cause it's like, hey, well,
cause it's not even them to begin with.
Exactly.
Well, and that's because we did that. I found an illustrator on one of these platforms. I was like, wow, did you do these? Yes, these are all mine. Cool. I need this look. Can you do it for me? Dude, I ended up doing the whole fucking thing myself in the end. Because he kept, and I'm like, well, can you make this change? No, I'm sorry, I can't. And it was because he was using like templates and this and that. And he was looking pieces.
Oh.
Dude, I was so frustrated. Like, honestly. So that's a bad example.
Oh, shit.
I know, of this whole fake it until you make it bullshit. Wow. And I'm seeing that a lot. So when you guys are on Dribbble and shit, right, on a regular basis, don't be intimidated by anything that you see on there, because there's a really good chance a lot of that stuff is fake. It's not real. I'm not saying all of it by any means, But there is a lot of this fake it until you make it mentality put on these online portfolio sites that it's like you don't know what's real and what's fake anymore, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. again, that's where you have to have that honest conversation with the designer to make sure that you don't ask for those references and shit.
Yeah.
You know, we've got other examples of this whole over-promising and under-delivering, just like you said, right? Like literally people are trying to oversell their abilities yes. just to win the job.
Yeah.
But then when they win it, they can't do it because they don't have the experience yeah. to back that shit up. Yeah. So it's easy to try to sell somebody if you embrace this fake it until you make it idea and mm-hmm. think, well, you know, all these designers told me to do it. And so I can do it. I'm yeah. sure I can do it. Well, yeah. guess what? It's a lot harder than just cranking out an afternoon or two of YouTube videos to become an expert on
exactly.
it. Like it's not that easy.
No.
And what happens? Like the customer ends up getting jaded in the end. They get screwed.
Yep.
You know, the freelancer then just kind of ghosts them, goes on to the next victim. And this yep. is just a horrible cycle, right? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, that's the problem with this digital world that we have now is because it's so easy to fake it on social, to fake it on Dribbble, to fake it on Behance, Fiverr, yep. blah, blah, blah. Everywhere you go, fuck, even on your websites
yep.
and make yourself, you know, present yourself as something that you're not. So, yeah. it, you know, it kind of worries me. It creates this whole world of phonies.
Yes.
And that, I think, is the part that worries me the most.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who I'm talking to anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I know. It's like that, I forget what the name of the pizza place is, but Alan Peters pizza with the fire around it. You remember? I've seen that logo.
Wildfire or something
yeah. like that. Yeah.
Yes.
How many times have you seen that logo?
Dude, yeah. I feel so bad.
And I was like, when we interviewed him, I'm like, oh my God, this is the guy that really did this.
Yeah. He created the first.
He actually did the real
but
one.
We've seen yeah, it. You're right. We've
seen that a bunch of times. And that's the kind of thing where I see what you're saying. Somebody sees that on Fiverr and it's like, well, hey, that's really good. Because that was done by a fucking hardcore professional,
exactly
right?
Exactly, right.
You end up having to come up with an idea that's similar to that, but you don't have what
you know, they did. They plagiarized it. They took the idea of the pizza slice exactly. and the fire, yeah. and they changed the font and the name on the bottom.
The bottom.
And, hey, yeah, it's like, mine. I created it.
Jeez, no, dude. No.
So there is, okay, so in all fairness, okay, there is another side to the fake it till you make it, okay? Mm-hmm. And in all fairness, it does still serve a place. I feel it serves a place for personal development. Mm. Okay, so I'm being a little hard on the phonies, but the term itself internally, because it always started as like a personal self-empowerment thing. And I think in that sense, it still can exist, right?
Yes.
Like, you know, if you want to, like, grow your professional experience. Like you said, becoming a weekend professional, mm-hmm. right? I tell my customers, you know, I can do this. I'll find out everything you need to by Monday. Hang tight, right? Yeah, as yeah. a figure of speech, of course.
Yes.
But it's like, I'm telling them, give me a couple days. I'll learn everything about this so you don't have to.
Yes.
And number one, it expands what I'm able to offer because exactly. it's pushing me. So it's like, I'm confident in that sense
yes.
that I can take on the task based on my experiences
in the past.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Not based on the fact that I have this overblown self-interpretation of what I can do because my mom told me I'm special. Okay. Like, guys, yeah. you're not. Okay. Newsflash. Yes. You're not special.
You're not special, no.
Okay. But I mean, you know, at least embracing this kind of idea does help you, you know, expand your capabilities.
Yes.
As long as you are self-aware of what you're capable of.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Networking. Okay, networking and like self-promotion. If you want to push yourself, you know, like fake it till you make it. Let's say you're uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
okay, with going to a networking event. I was guilty of this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I believe it or not, yeah. I talk a lot. When I get to a networking event, I'm a pretty chill guy. I'm the one who stands on the outside and I just kind of like, I circle the group, I'll go in, I'll come back out, right?
Yeah.
But I had to put on that whole fake it idea that it's like, no, I can do this, man. I'm confident. Yeah. I can do this. And it pushes you out of your comfort zone.
Out of your comfort zone,
exactly. So again, that's okay, right? Because again, this is me and it's helping me, this, you know, fake your uncomfortableness, you know, pretend that you're confident, you know,
right.
go up, you know, ask for that girl's phone number. We've separated from business now to personal. But I mean, the reality is it's like pushing yourself out of that comfort zone.
Right.
Okay. So again, but personally,
yeah.
not selling that, okay?
Yes.
Personally doing that, mm-hmm. right? And then even in leadership roles, I think in some ways it's okay to fake it in the sense of there was this amazing although I'm not a big Trekkie guy. I'm not a Star Trek guy, right? I'm really not. But I did watch it.
I quit.
And then there was... There was this episode where it was like they were all on the bridge, and it's like they had two choices. They came to a fork in the road. Mm. If they went one, the wrong way, one would just imminent death.
Yep.
The whole place would blow up.
Yep.
They went the other way, they were safe.
Yep.
And they're like, Picard, but we don't know which one are we going to do. Which way do we go? And he looks at both and he goes, go that way. They go and they're like, they lived.
Yeah.
And then later on, I guess he was approached and he's like, Picard, like, how did you know? And he's like, I didn't. He goes, but people needed a leader in that place. And sometimes, you know, your job as a leader is to give direction, right or wrong. You just have to make that decision.
Exactly.
Right. And that's what I mean by in leadership roles. Sometimes, although, you know, you may not have all the answers, okay, you might have to be the one to step up and try to, you know, like steer the ship, right? And I think in that sense, don't try to, you know, you misrepresent yourself.
No.
Don't be a creative director when you're not even a junior graphic designer yet.
Exactly, yeah.
But, you know, stand up to it, you know, take that leadership role, pull up your pants and help the team make calls and head to a direction.
Yes.
So in those instances, and I'm sure there's a couple other good ones that it could work in that sense. It's just, I think the key is you can't falsely misrepresent yourself.
No.
Right? And no. And like in order to, you know, kind of fool people.
Yes.
In that case and become a phony, right?
Yeah.
So for yourself, it's one thing, but I guess I don't know. Am I contradicting myself here?
No. I think you're absolutely right. I would argue like back to your point of the, you know, the social aspect. Mm-hmm. That is a difficult situation, but it's one of my favorite things. It's a soft skill, right? Mm. Which is what we have, like your Illustrator example, the guy's just working off templates. That's just a surface level understanding of what he has to do.
Yep.
You and I would find a deeper way to go in and do what
you're
it is
you're right.
your request. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. And
there's,
you're right.
And there's a confidence behind that to say, and I do this almost on a daily basis, like, I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to figure out how to do this. But it's research and it's doing your diligence and it's sitting there and kind of like, oh, I remember an old job I used to do. I did this. Yep. This will work here for that. And it's like,
you know what? I think it comes down to not being scared to create a culture of authenticity.
Right.
Being able to say, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I'll figure it out.
Yes.
I don't have the answers.
Yes.
But leave it to me and I'll figure it out. I think it's that sense of humility, that honesty, right? To put it forward is much more appreciated because people will know that they can count on you to figure it out.
Exactly.
Many times I take stuff on and I tell customers, you know, I don't have that answer for you, but leave it to me. Mm-hmm. I'll figure it out. Because oftentimes, customers just want somebody they can rely on.
It's Captain Picard.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm going to the left.
And that's what they want,
that's
right?
That's exactly what they want.
Because again, you know what? Then what it's doing is this whole sense of authenticity, it focuses on real growth, not fake growth.
Yes.
Let's face it, this space, this industry, this is not a sprint.
No.
Okay.
No.
This isn't you're in and you're out and that's it. That's what a lot of the shit I'm seeing online right now is.
Right.
But the real thing, I mean, I always tell everybody, it's a journey. Mm-hmm. Graphic design is a journey and it's a lifelong journey. Some of the best designers were designing for 40, 50, 60 years until the day they die.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Like it is. And they always focused on growth. Yeah. Massimo Vignelli was growing until the day he died. Paul Rand was continually designing and creating new shit and it's funny because you read back to a lot of them and you know how they talk about the importance of evolving with computers and technology and it's just like, dude, you have no idea like how fucking crazy shit has gone. But I mean, again, I think people need to focus on real skill development and being ready to go the distance, not worrying about these short sprints in between, because these sprints are, so it's what's fucking everybody over. They're looking for shortcuts. And I don't think that there is a shortcut in this space.
No, I don't think so either.
No, absolutely dude. Not.
You can't, you got to log the hours in and you've got to, you know, you got to take every job that you can, but not that's way beyond you. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be realistic with yeah. your with your abilities, I yep, think.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know what? Exactly. When we grew, as Zed Factor grew, we would take on work that we were capable of doing.
Exactly.
Okay. Actually, purely selfishly, I was taking on work that I wanted to learn how to do.
Yes.
And that's the funny thing. I was interested in interior design.
Yeah.
So I would offer to do their, you know, the human experience of their lobby.
Yeah.
You know, what their lobby would look, what their desks would look like, where the logo should be, you know, what the customer experience would be when they walked into the place.
Yeah.
I wasn't, you know, like claiming that I could also create, I don't know, do the architecture for the place. That was way out of my realm.
Yes.
I would have loved to have tried, I knew that that was out, but I knew what I was able to tell them I could do. I knew without a doubt I could deliver based on everything to that point.
Right.
Same with multimedia, same with web. Same, you know, we were not, you know, a web company by any means. We were programmers when we started delivering web, but we knew what the front end experience needed to be.
Yep.
We just had to find the people who could make the back-end experience
exactly
work. So it's again it's being self-aware right and and that's where the authenticity comes from right. If you try to sell what you're not and try to be what you're not being authentic.
Yes.
And if you're not being authentic, I think authenticity is the word of 2024.
I think it should be.
Holy shit, absolutely.
And you know, the thing that I think is the most important about it, and you and I share this, it's the love for the game.
Oh, fuck. No
Do you know
kidding.
What I mean?
And, this isn't and a money game.
It's not. If you're doing this to get rich, or you're cutting corners, or you want to just go right straight to the top, you don't want to fuck around with three people at an agency, it's the love of the game, I think. Because you don't know much about interior design, but you love it. And you love it so much that you're willing to find out how to do this
how
kind
to do
of thing.
It. And that's it.
Yes, like that's and the key to it, 100%,
dude. And
I think, and then like the posers and the fakers, they just don't have that. They're looking at. I think a lot of people get into graphic design because they think it's easy,
quick buck, easy.
I can do
then
this.
Then they figure out how to scale it.
Exactly.
And how to, you know, there's all this. Yeah, I agree,
overbill.
Dude.
You know, and it's like, oh, this took me 10 minutes to do. I'm going to charge for a half a day.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, dude. No. And that 10 minutes is because they stole Alan Peter's,
because they took his pizza
Fireside logo
exactly.
and they slapped a new name on it.
10 minutes to pick a new font.
Good work, buddy.
That's hard. Oh yeah.
You're right. I think you're right. I think, you know, if you're passionate about this, you need to focus on being like a lifelong learner.
Do it legit
and constantly evolve as trends do, as technology does, as you know, like we see, you know, this space has changed so much. I was having a great conversation with somebody today about it, and in our 25 years we had 5 massive pivotal changes in the industry. We went from print to digital, then from digital to the offshore movement, how to make that work, and then from that to the crowdsourcing movement, and then now from that to AI,
social media
to AI. Yeah. Like, there has been so many giant pivotal moments that a lot of places shut down. It's just like, no, I'm way too, you know, like, I love this space way the fuck too much to back the hell out.
Yeah.
So, no, forget it. No.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know what? Changing the focus, be authentic.
Yes.
And this whole fake it until you make it, you know, I wouldn't proudly follow this. I wouldn't proudly preach it or repeat it, to be honest, because I think, you know, while it may have started out as something that was great, I think it's gone downhill.
I think it has. I think it's like anything. It's been misused by people.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I mean? Like,
right?
Like 100%. I said, Jessica
Walsh.
I know what she meant, too.
It's, you know, like, you know, fake it if you don't know. But it's like, you know, I don't think she was telling people to misrepresent themselves.
No, she's not. She's also saying, I have a wealth of information in my brain that I can draw on kind of put this puzzle together without the pieces.
Exactly, right? And that's why she is involved in so many different unique little subsets, right?
Because she's probably the same as you, like very passionate about what she does. And it's just like, I'm going to figure out how to do this.
I think if you see some of these people out there that almost seem like they're too good to be true, okay, some of these fakers, okay, navigating this shit, honestly, you know, check their credentials.
Yes.
You know, check out their background, or, you know, in situations like this, make sure, you know, they're not trying to oversimplify some sort of solution. you know, that they're trying to sell you, right? And fucking use your own head. Critical thinking is one of the strongest tools I think a graphic designer, any designer needs to possess in order to make the right decisions to solve problems, right? So, you know, do that, stay updated, you know, use the web, check these people out for yourself, you know, and just don't buy into anybody who claims to have like 100,000 followers and is promising you the world, because honestly, they're just going to leave you the second that they have what they want from you.
They're going to get your money for their book, and then you're going to read it and you're going to be like, the fuck?
Oh,
this is a waste of money.
I felt so bad. I watched a video actually yesterday on YouTube from Jazza. I don't know if you... Jazza is an awesome illustrator. And he's also a graphic designer. And he's a very famous YouTuber. And I guess he got a new project. He's creating a book. And it was, you know, a drawing book based on, you know... Anyway, needless to say... You know, his whole YouTube post was how he went online, he found this book, and he genuinely bought it, okay, because he wanted to get better at what he's doing. So he bought this book, he spent the $100, okay, and it was like a 3-book series. And when he got it, the whole fucking thing was just an AI-generated book of just people's images. There was no artists on there. There was no artist, you know, accreditation on it. Nothing. And he was just like I totally got had. Don't do this to yourself. And it's the same thing. Like, you know, he said that, you know, the presentation was good, of the website, the sales was good, like the whole sales pitch. But in the end, it was just completely fake. It was total phony.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just heartbreaking, dude.
That's sad.
I know.
And $100, too.
$100, and that's it. $100. 100 USD.
It's a get-rich-quick scheme.
Yeah.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah.
That's very sad.
So, with that being said, don't be fake.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Be real.
Don't be a phony.
Yeah.
You know, drop that fake until you make it mentality and shoot for the whole authenticity. Start using that. You know, start telling customers, I'm going to be authentic with you. I don't know how to do it, but I'll find the answer for you. I will do it. If you're not happy in the end, you don't have to pay me for it. I used to do that.
Yep.
And I told customers that. I was like, you know what? I'll invest up front.
Yep.
If you don't like it, we'll walk away. I'll tear up that contract. We both go our separate ways.
Yep.
Not once did anybody do that. But let me tell you, how many people in the end were like, I like your confidence.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Didn't have the fucking answer.
Yeah.
But I told them that I would do it for them. And again, it always worked. And it grew. Exactly. It was just, that was the secret to our success.
Yeah, totally.
Well, one of many, apparently.
But that's good. It's exactly like you said, is that the customer has other things to do. They are thinking big picture, their product or whatever. They want somebody who's in the marketing role or the design role that's confident and knows exactly what they're doing.
Agreed. 100%.
But knows what they're doing behind that kind of thing.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that you probably gave off that vibe when you were starting. You know what I mean?
Like, I think the vibe was they were scared because I was so in your face. I was like, pow, pow, pow.
I'll do it.
Just to say yes.
But that's infectious, too.
I think I was pretty intense, I'm not going to lie. Like, for the right reasons, of course. Yeah. But I remember some of the people's faces, and they'd all be taken back. Like, whoa, are you on drugs?
This guy's the real deal.
Oh, God. All right. So listen, everybody. Yeah. Please, you know what? If you're in the area, if you can make Creative South, please come say hi. We've got swag that we'll be testing out. Want to get some feedback on. We're giving away everything from stickers to buttons to t-shirts to hugs and hats. Shit, just stop by and say hi and stay tuned because I think we're going to be trying to do some live feeds on, you know, whether it's YouTube or Instagram or both. But like, stay tuned. I'm really looking forward to this event. So.
Yes, this is going to be good, man.
I hope so. Anyway, ooh-wee. If not, if at the worst, we're going to be, you know, hanging out with some of the coolest fucking people in the industry.
Yep.
Absorbing this energy, mm-hmm. this power. We're just, you know, like this is the best part of this.
Yes.
And you know, for at the absolute very worst, that's what we're going to be doing.
Exactly.
And that sounds pretty fucking
that
good to me.
That sounds awesome.
Right?
No fakers.
Can't fake this shit. No. Even if I tried, it ain't going to work. Hit us up on our Instagram. Say hi. Give us a message. Let us know what you think about this. You know, and check us out on YouTube. We're there as well. And we're having fun with that. So,
yes, yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
It's too bad about the whiskey, but
yeah. Guys, Iceland is known for a lot of really cool things, but they're still a little bit behind the whiskey.
Yeah, they're going to continue to fake it.
Continue to fake it. My name is Massimo.
And my name is Sean.
Stay creative.
And stay angry.